This episode of the Griffey Boys is sponsored by Quick Feet. Quick Feet offers the simplest, most effective way to customize your skates, ensuring you're perfectly positioned for every pivot and turn when making plays. Simply slide one, two, or three Quick Feet inserts in your existing insoles, giving you more power and stability on ice. Whether you're competing at the highest level, skating as a hobby, or guiding others as a coach, Quick Feet will provide the ultimate enhancement for anyone looking to maximize their performance. Head over to quickfeet.com now to unlock a 10% discount with the promo code CurfewBoys10 and skate into a new era of on-ice performance. Elevate your game with Quick Feet, where every stride counts.
How's it going? A brand new episode of the Curfew Boys podcast. Myself, Sammy, with my boys, Anthony and Joey.
Hey, now.
How are you guys doing?
Good. Can't complain. Long weekend. Lots of food, eh?
The Italian Easter dinners that the
Italian
that we've had?
Easter dinner with that, the traditional.
Joey, you can't complain. Did you say you can't complain? You're always complaining. Since when are you not complaining?
Because it's that Italian food, Anthony.
Yeah, and you're off Italian Easter food. You're off for a couple of days beyond the weekend. So for now, I cannot complain. But we'll see when we get into our Habs talk.
That's when the complaining starts. Well, look, listen, happy Easter to everybody out there. Hope you had a great time with your family. Boys, tonight's episode is actually a special one for us. As you all know, to all our listeners and viewers out there, we've been sponsored by Quick Feet for quite a few episodes now. What makes this episode so special is that we have one of the founding members of this company with us tonight, Alex Sills, in the house, special guest of the Curfew Boys. Alex, welcome. Thanks for being with us, man.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
It's awesome to have you here. So how about you? Did you have any fancy Italian Easter dinners or any
no fancy Italian dinners? I'm more on the German side of things, but
okay
but no, it was definitely fun to have a little extra data this weekend. Yeah,
that's awesome. Well, then happy Easter to you and your family. Hope everyone's doing well. Thanks for being on with us, man. We're super happy that we finally got the time to have you on. You know, like you said, your company have been sponsoring us for quite a little bit now. So extremely happy that we finally made the time to have you on. Looking forward to chatting with you about, you know, your product, the Quick Feet product that I've been using the last couple of weeks or since we met.
Yeah, I heard you're racking up points.
Buddy, I've been scoring goals off the glass in the back of the head. I've been able to shoot anywhere on the ice and they just go in just because of these Quick Feet insoles. And all jokes aside, I'm super happy I got to meet you and know you and your product. And like, I'm happy that I am getting to experience playing with these. So look, man, let's get this started. Before we talk about your brand and your company and your product, give our listeners and our viewers just a bit of an introduction about who you are and what your background in the game of hockey is.
Yeah, definitely. Let's start from the beginning, I guess. So I was, I mentioned earlier, but I was born in Germany. My dad played professionally there for about 10 years, I would say. Yeah, exactly. Well, for the listeners, I guess they can go on HockeyDB and see that the stats of the old man are actually pretty crazy. He played played his juniors in Laval with Mario Lemieux, and then
no way.
Yeah, exactly. He actually signed with the Habs and played for the farm team that was in Sherbrooke back then.
Okay. Yeah.
He moved over to Germany, played there for about 10 years, and
What's your father's name? Sorry. What's your dad's name?
François.
Francois Sills. Okay.
Exactly. Okay. Yeah.
We're gonna check out his CV on HockeyDB.
Yeah, pretty impressive. He was definitely a better goal scorer than I was. I think his last junior year he had something like 65 goals, like 150 points or something. Pretty impressive. Yeah. Christ.
Okay.
Okay. I wish I only had 10% of that, but
wow. Well, that's impressive. And the best part about tonight having you on as a guest is that yes, we've met, but we still have a lot to learn about you. I know that your dad was pro and played with Mario Lemieux in Laval. And it's so funny you mentioned that, because if you've been to Laval Rocket games, or if anybody has, like the pregame show, they show like the history of Laval or hockey in Laval, and you see Mario Lemieux when he started. So as soon as you mentioned dad, right away I got the image of like, oh my God, he might be in that video somewhere somehow. But like that's pretty impressive. So listen, your father played pro, then he came and played in Laval. But what about, like, I checked your stats in HockeyDB. Like, you've played in a very popular league within the province of Quebec. So tell us about that.
Yeah, definitely. So, well, yeah, I was born in Germany, as I said. Then we moved to – so my dad is from Amos in Abitibi. So we moved there. I was, like, six when we came to Amos. Played my minor hockey there. Played with the Forestier, major AAA team over there. And then I got drafted in the queue by Halifax. Same year as McKinnon.
Okay.
And the following year, the year after my draft, I was actually debating when I was 16. I was debating going the NCAA route or going for the queue. So I ended up only staying for 48 hours at the camp. Went back, finished my high school in Amos, and then the Sherbrooke Phoenix came into the league. Was the first year of the team. They had the expansion draft, so they picked me from Halifax. So I started my 2 years juniors with Sherbrooke. Played 2 years there, and then I got traded after my second year. Got traded to Rouen, which was actually pretty cool because I got closer to the family. Like,
yeah,
whole family is obviously in Abitibi on the Canadian side of things, actually. And then played there 19 until the middle of the season when I was 20, and then my OA year I got traded to Quebec halfway through the season, so during Christmas.
Okay.
I was always a very so back in Rouen, even in Sherbrooke, I was like third line centerman, like two-way forward, I guess, just like winning the draws, getting the puck out of the zone, getting it from the other side, sort of my role. When I got to Quebec, Phil Boucher was a coach there.
I checked the years, and for a second I thought you were playing with Patrick Roy, but I think during your time he was coaching Colorado.
Exactly. So it was right in between. So like his first stint with the Ramparts and his comeback, I guess. So I had Phil Boucher, which big shout out to him. Best coach I've ever had. Okay. So basically when I got there, I don't know if you remember, but Quebec had the Mem Cup the year before. So they stacked the team up. And then at Christmas, they just sold the entire team. Mm-hmm. We weren't all that good. It was the first year of the Videotron Center also. So that was actually pretty cool. So I got traded there. And if you look at my stats, the first like 3.5 years in juniors, not that many points. I wasn't wearing the quick feet back then, unfortunately. but got to Quebec and Phil was like, hey, listen, like let's turn you into someone that can actually score a couple goals. Gave me a lot of confidence, gave me a lot of tips and tricks. He was amazing with me. I really found like a lot of confidence there. And at the end of that year, I was debating going back to Germany and play there. So what I wanted to do, since I was since I started skating, has always been to go back to Germany and play professionally there. Okay. A lot of kids dream about the NHL. Of course, it was in the back of my mind, but for me, it was always going back to Germany and hopefully one day playing on the national team.
Yeah.
So year finished. I was looking at contracts over there and then finally decided, or my dad sort of not pushed me to it, but for him, it was always really important. I mean, for myself as well, it was always important to get a good education too. Never know what's going to happen with injuries.
Absolutely.
And stuff like that.
Absolutely, yeah.
So ended up deciding to commit for McGill, which was one of the best decisions I've made. Great program, an amazing group of guys too. So I ended up playing there for 1.5 years, where I found Quick Feet, or the first version of it actually back then.
Okay,
we can get back to that in a bit. But yeah, played there for 1.5 seasons and then got a really bad concussion, was out for about 2 years, tried to come back, but ended up having to retire after struggling with that for about 2 years. That's it.
Oh my God. Ask Anthony who his favorite Habs prospect who used to play for Sherbrooke is.
Oh, used to play for Sherbrooke?
Yeah.
Oh, Joshua Roy, right?
That's right.
There you go.
It's Anthony's favorite prospect.
He caught my attention the first time I saw him on the ice when I went to the white versus red two seasons ago. And I told the guys right away, I sent a picture of this guy and I said, guys, keep an eye on him. I'm not a guy who drafts.
Joey's our stats guy within the podcast. Like he looks at numbers.
I'm the scenario guy. I just make up scenarios. But for once, I was right about something, and I told the guys to keep an eye on Joshua Roy. And so far, so good. So far,
he's right.
He's been doing really good. Yeah, I've been keeping up with my former team, so I've been like following him like for quite a bit while he was in Sherbrooke as well. I still like my Billis family, so I guess I have really good contact with them, so I go and see like a couple games every year. But yeah, he was really impressive back in juniors. Like his hockey IQ is insane.
It's insane. I can't wait to see this kid develop. And just one more note, and then we're gonna get on the main topic here. But I played at I played midget double B. Don't ask me which year. But we had a tournament in Rouyn-Noranda and I ended up playing their arena. The very first QMJHL arena I've ever played at, though, was the one in Rimouski when I was playing Pee-wee. I think it was Pee-wee Double B at that time. And it was around the same year where Crosby was really like he was coming out. And I believe it was 2004. It was the year before his draft, the year before the lockout. That year it was Ovi's draft. It was the year of the lockout. Yeah, that's right. It was the year of the lockout. And I ended up playing in Rimouski for a tournament. And that was those arenas are pretty cool, man. I have to say, like when you're used to your local arenas here and then you go play at a tournament that, like, you know, it's a major junior arena. Like it's pretty impressive stuff. I have to say, like I'm getting a bit of the chills just thinking about it, but nowhere near as the level of talent that you and your father have, but it's okay.
There's a couple really nice rinks in the queue, like thinking about UC Quebec. Had a good story, actually. My first game in Quebec playing as a home, like my home team, I got traded and like I think if I recall it was December 28th, like right during that trade period, which is like
right after Christmas.
Exactly. So pack up the stuff in Rouyn, take the plane, go to Quebec. Mm-hmm. We played our first two games on the road. And, you know, like takes a little bit to like settle in with the guys and everything. Like, and then the first game we played home was on January 6th. And it was right after Christmas. It was a big spin where we didn't have any like home games. And it was sold out. It was packed. I was on the starting five and won the draw. Breakout, and then I coast to coast shot scored, like it was 7 seconds in the game, and it was just like the whole crowd went just crazy, and I was like, oh my goodness, like I've played in the Cuba like this with the home team in Quebec. It was amazing. The fans over there are crazy too, so yeah, it was really good.
I love hearing that. That's so awesome. I'm getting shivers just thinking about it. I'm living vicariously through your past, if that ever makes sense. Joey, you asked me something before we...
No, I was actually going to say to Alex, I think Sam's playing some of the best hockey in his life now from what he's mentioning because of Quick Feet. So I wanted to mention that joke before because when I used to see Sammy play...
Ooh. Oh, stop it.
I'm not a great hockey player, so I was more with soccer and tennis,
The only reason why you would score at street hockey was because of me, Joey, and you know it.
Very, very true. Yeah, I never played any sort of ice hockey. I was always into soccer as a kid, but loving the Habs, obviously a huge hockey fan. But watching Sammy play, apparently he's playing the best hockey. It was like, Sam, this is what I'm hearing. This is the rumors. So,
yeah, well, I've been hearing that too. So I think we'll have to get him on the McGill Alumni League at some point on the Thursday with us.
It's the truth, okay? I'll look like... Compared to you guys, I'll probably look like Mitchell Stevens when he joined the Habs. But listen, at least I try and I make it. I can make it. Work hard. I don't be a character guy. I don't know what the heck I'm saying. All right. We're on the subject of Quick Feet here, Alex. So you've obviously yourself and two other guys, you've started this brand, this company. Please take it away. Tell us all about it.
Yeah, let's start from the beginning as well, because it's actually a pretty funny story too, I find. So I was, I told you guys right after juniors, I went to McGill. So I played my first season there. We went to nationals at the end of the year, and just by the end of the season, so Patrick Kelly, which is one of the other two founders, he basically, so what Patrick did is he played at McGill back in the 80s, and then stopped ice hockey, transitioned to speed skating. Mm-hmm. Patrick is actually the son of Red Kelly. Don't know if you, major Hall of Famer, like the Detroit,
no way.
Yeah, Maple Leaf defenseman. Like,
are you kidding me?
Yeah, so Patrick.
I didn't make that connection. I didn't think it.
That no, was, me neither. No. Oh my goodness.
Dude. Yeah, yeah. So the story. I mean, Patrick has a bunch of stories, and he transitioned from hockey to speed skating. He did two Olympics back in the 90s, mm-hmm. a bunch of world championships and everything. So he's also a mechanical engineer by training. So as am I. So we've both studied that at McGill. And basically through his speed skating career, he started like playing around with his skates, tweaking them, trying different materials, trying different stuff with the blades, the pitch angle and all that stuff. And, you know, like in hockey, there's a bunch of variables. I mean, there's IQ, there's speed of, there's hands, there's a bunch yes. of variables, but in speed yes. skating, there's basically one, which is how fast can you do the laps, right? So he started playing around with that and he figured a bunch of stuff out. And then as he finished, he stopped, I think back like early 2000s. And then he became a consultant for pro guys back in hockey as a skating consultant. So he worked with the likes of Alfredson, Yashin. He was a skating coach for the Habs, for Arizona, the Leafs. I'm forgetting a couple teams here. So he worked with a bunch of guys, and he was trying to take what he found, I guess, in speed skating and apply that to them. Mm-hmm. And he just realized that there was a lot of restriction that was caused by how the skates were built. So he took what he found in his speed skating years and applied that to the skates. And that's sort of how Quick Feet was born. The first version of it was just like him cutting pieces and just giving that to guys. And basically what he does now, he still runs that with guys and guys. Thinking about Pacioretty just came back from like his injury, right? So like they were messaging back and forth and just like helping him get like his body back into his skates the way he's like optimally skating now with the new restriction he has. So basically where he's like working at the most is like adjusting the pitch angle of your skate relative to the ice. So pitch angle, like picture the skate being flat on the ice, right? The pitch angle is basically the angle between your foot in the skate and the surface of the ice. And what he realized through like 15, like, well, basically 20 years of consulting is that for most hockey players, skates are too much angled forward. So basically you raise the toes, allowing for, I mean, you've experienced it, but allowing for better stability, better stride, better glide, all in all, better game. So that's the objective behind it. And what we're trying to do with Quick Feet, and that's a nice thing about having a kit and like having multiple multiple soles in there, is that you can make it as your body better suits into the skates. Yeah, exactly. So I have a couple ones here. So myself, for example, I have four Quick Feet in my right skate, and I only have two in my left skate. Reason being, I broke my left ankle playing at McGill, and it's just less mobility. So I need less in there. Like the high heel, I guess, for my skate helps me in that skate, or isn't that big of a
wow. You just made a light bulb go off in my head, because I rolled my left ankle multiple times. I sprained the ankle many times. I never broke it, but I've sprained it when I was a kid. And if any of you know sprained ankles, when you roll it once, if you roll it again, it just keeps getting weak. The fact that you said that you put four in one and two in the other, when I first started using the product, I both boots, I tried three. I thought I skated very well. Then I tried two, and I thought I skated very well also. And I got comfortable with two, but I think I'm going to try three on my left boot and give that a try, because I don't, especially when I try to turn it's so weird, but I try to turn right, pivot right, like I don't have striding power off of my left foot, so I might give that a shot actually.
Yeah, so what probably happens, and it's a little counterintuitive, so what probably happens is you need to increase on the right side and diminish on the left side. Picture, the way you could picture this is like, imagine, like what I'm guessing is you're probably lacking mobility in your left ankle compared to your right. It's probably more stiff due to the injuries, probably the same exact thing as I have. So because your foot is already in a high heel, because you're lacking restriction, it's already like in a good position as your skate is angled forward. It helps you in that skate. Whereas the other skate probably needs a bigger lift because you have that mobility to get your knees really above your, like in front of your toes, mm-hmm. which we're looking for, like in a good stride. So that is sort of the great thing about Quick Feet. And a lot of guys, and that's what Patrick does, is he consult with pro guys, right? So it's a very premium package where like he spends weeks with them, films them, analyze them, and like fits them like to the millimeter, right? So the guys, and I mean, we have like over 150 NHL guys using Quick Feet or have used them at some point. And they're basically coming back. So every time they get injured or something like that, they come back, they run another analysis, and then they adjust, right? So that is sort of like the great thing about it. It's very easy to adjust because it just takes stuff out, put stuff back in. And so basically, he's been consulting with like for, well, 16 years, I guess, when I met Patrick through McGill. He came to the team and he sort of tried to like create the product and sell it to like just normal consumers and get that out like in the hands of like people playing hockey all over the world, not just the elite guys. So he came with like a prototype of it and he gave that to me. I tried them out during a practice and sort of like, well, like you felt it. I just immediate difference. I was like, man, I don't know why, but like I feel better. It's amazing. Played with him like at the end of the season, 2016 or 2017, started the year in 2017, like 2017, 2018. And I just like, I scored like crazy. Like my stats, the second year at McGill before I got injured, I was like leading goal scorer in the league. I was having a phenomenal season. Then I got injured. So I was off of hockey for a little bit, and fast forward to like 2022, our third partner, Jean Kaminsky, which is actually the son to Jan Kaminsky, who played with the Islanders, and nephew.
Oh, yeah. That's Ringo. That name is Ringo Bell. Yeah.
Yeah. Nephew to, what's his uncle's name? Valery Kaminsky, who played with the Nordiques.
Yes.
Exactly. So I played with Django at McGill, who he studied electrical engineering. He was actually my mentor as I came into the team with McGill. Yeah. And we're still really good buddies, both living here in Montreal. And Django is now a e-commerce consultant. So he basically creates websites to sell stuff for companies online. I work for a startup as well, so the business side. And then he just reached out to me. He's like, hey, like, remember this product you have like in your skates? Like, you remember Patrick? Would be great if like we just try and launch something with him, reach out to him. And as much as I love the product, and I mean, I'm full behind it, back then I was like, man, this has to be placebo. Like, I started scoring goals right after that. Like, it's just like I tape my stick another color and it works fine with me. Like, I have this other startup going that I'm working at. Like, man, like, I don't really have time for this. And he's like, no, like, let's go and see him. Like, I want to try this on. So, like, went to Patrick lives in Lake Placid. So we went up to Lake Placid, got Django fitted on them. And he immediately fell in love with them. And he was like, man, this is amazing. Like, we have to get this in like as many people's skates as we can. And I was like, man, like you're a little biased. You want to start a company with this? Like, that's probably another placebo effect on you. I was kind of the bummer through that whole process. And but he convinced me. And I was like, man, all right, let's do this final trial. We'll do like a prototype batch and we'll bring this to a tournament and we'll give these out. And we tell everybody, if at the end of the tournament you want to keep them, you give us $40. If you don't like them, you don't want them, you don't want to pay the $40, you bring them back and that's it. Like, no questions asked. We'll get them back and don't worry about it. So we ended up going to a tournament in Off Saint-Pierre, best tournament ever. Also, so shout out to them. But Went there, had about like, I don't know, like 30 kits we made. And at the end of the tournament, everybody came back with 40 bucks and was like, here, we want to keep them.
Wow.
So that's awesome. Like, that's the moment when I went, okay, this might not be placebo. This might actually work. Okay. And then that's how we created QuickFeed. So we rebranded the whole concept, created the website, launched a company. And that is sort of like the whole, yeah, inception of QuickFeed happened through basically convincing me that it wasn't placebo and it actually works. So,
oh, that's an awesome story. And in all honesty, like, congratulations to the three of you for really taking that chance and going for it. You know, like, it's one of those stories. Like, it's also like not just a hockey story, but it's like a business story too, or like just getting out of your comfort zone and going for something that you truly believe in. And I think you guys found that ingredient of going to business of something that you truly believe in. You're passionate about hockey, the mechanics and physics of skating as well. So congrats to you guys, man. That's so awesome. Yeah, so listen, to our listeners and viewers, you heard from Alex yourself. So go to quickfeet.com, Q-U-U-I-K, feet. That's Q-U-U-I-K, feet.com. Get your 10% code off, your 10% discount, excuse me, with the code name CurfewBoys10. I'm messing up so badly. CurfewBoys10. Try it out, man. You will not be disappointed. So that's an awesome story, Alex, honestly. But we still got a few other questions for you. I know Anthony and Joey had a few things they wanted to ask you. Like, we want to pick your brain on a couple of things going on within not just the NHL and not just since we're a Montreal Canadiens podcast, but like we want to pick your brain with like on certain things regarding this game and this team. So Joey or Anthony, one of you guys, go ahead.
I actually wanted to see what Alex, do you have a favorite moment in the when you were in the queue? Favorite moment, favorite goal? Like, this is always something I think listeners love to hear.
Yeah, well, I mean, definitely like the story I told you guys a little earlier about like that first goal in Quebec. I still see the whole thing. Like, I can still picture the whole thing. I can still hear the crowd. It was just amazing, and especially like coming to like that market, which is huge. I mean, fans are incredible there, and I played in Sherbrooke. Like, it was the first 2 years of the team, right? In Rouen, like, Rouen's also like, I mean, both organizations, great organizations. Rouen had a blast. Like, my family and everything is up there. Like, they were basically at every home game. They would make the trip to Rouen, and the team is very it's very present in the community. Obviously, like, I also had like friends from back home that would study there and everything, so that was great. But like that first goal in Quebec City, like playing in front of like 18,000 people, winning that draw, and I'll remember it for the rest of my life. Like, taking the puck on the face off and on the breakout, and then just like top circle shot. It was low glove. It was just amazing. And funny enough, the exact next play, I mean, same thing, like the draw, won the draw, breakout, same exact thing. And I hit the post on the same exact play 7 seconds later. So I can't imagine what it would have been if like I had scored that.
Oh my God, the roof would have exploded probably.
Yeah, probably. But yeah, no, and especially too, like in Quebec, as I mentioned earlier, like that's sort of where like I really found like a lot of confidence in my game, thanks to like Phil Boucher and Daniel Renault, who was like the assistant coach back there. It was amazing. We didn't have like a really good record. I mean, the whole like team got sold at Christmas, and they were in the rebuild phase. I was quite happy seeing them win last season, because it was like the start of like this whole process of rebuilding started when I was there. But yeah, no, that whole half season was really cool. And then obviously, like playing at McGill, I mean, in terms of like good memories, like the university hockey is, and I know if you guys ever like go and watch some university hockey, but for anybody in Quebec that has never been to a university game, so we have three teams in Quebec. We have McGill, Concordia, and UQTR, which is in Trois-Rivières. The level is insane. It's like by far like the best level in Quebec we have. The speed is just insanely fast. The guys are just really, really good. And the teams in Quebec have been doing really well the last couple of years. McGill just finished third at the Nationals this year.
Okay.
So that was great. And then being able to, you know, like study what you like, play there. We had some amazing games, amazing teams too. Won the Queen's Cup, went to Nationals my two years I played there. So yeah, that was
awesome.
That's amazing. Oh, that's pretty cool. Go ahead, Anthony.
No, that's crazy. I mean, you have a lot of crazy stories. I could just imagine what you went through. It's these are great memories, you know, for you, and something that you'll never forget, especially when you do what you love to do, right? With your experience, I mean, what do you think is, which is stronger, the NCAA or the CHL? In your opinion?
It's always very tough to compare. It's two like completely different routes. In terms of level, if you take like the best NCAA teams, guys are like a little older than like in juniors, right?
Yeah.
So like major junior, we play from like 16 to 20. NCAA, like guys are going to play until like 23, 24 sometimes. Yeah. So just that makes it like a lot stronger. Like guys are just like physically stronger. So we played actually when I was at McGill, every like preseason or during Christmas, we would go to the States and play against NCAA teams, just like exhibition games. And that level is very comparable. So we played against Quinnipiac as just a year after they won the Frozen Four. That was 2016, I guess. We played them. I think it was like a 2-1 game, or like very close game. So like the good university teams in Canada, whenever we go and play the NCAA, it's a pretty like even matchup. But yeah, compared to the Q, like the main difference is, I would say the Q is sort of a fast track to getting to pro. NCAA is more of like a longer development path. Both are great. It's honestly really hard. I think it depends a lot on the player in terms of like development.
In all honesty, Anthony, that's a great question, because I'm going to just take the Montreal Canadiens organization and whoever else, if you guys want to jump in on this, but there's always that whole debate, especially with this team and their prospects. It's like, what's good for their development in a sense? So, you know, we look at guys like, I'll take the latest guys. I'll take like Arbor Jack guy and Caden Gooley, who are like amazing in junior. And then there's always that question. Well, like, are they going to be good enough to make the NHL? And you see that they're able to, because they're the quote unquote, the older guy in the league. So they're in that sense, they're a man playing against boys. Right. Then you ask the question of like, but what about a player or smaller players of guys like Cole Caulfield? But like, look at what he did with Wisconsin. He winning, scoring over 30 goals and winning the Hobie Baker and being only 5 foot. What, he was 5'7", 5'8" at that time. He was still a kid, still a growing boy. Now we're seeing what Lane Hutson is doing with Boston University. And like you said, he's doing this against actual men, physically mature hockey players, and he's able to dominate and be considered one of the best, at least one of the best defensemen in the league. So I like to think that there's some people out there, they have this misconception that even if you're small, like you're not going to develop properly and be ready for the NHL. But I look at like what Cole Caulfield did, now I'm looking at what Lane Hutson did at that age and who his opponents are. I'm not too worried about a prospect like Lane Hutson. So to me, the way I see it is like, I feel like lately, the last couple of years, like the NCAA has really taken a whole other level in terms of developing players. And majority of them, they're becoming stars. They have potential to be superstars. I mean, a lot of them are in the top five. Like if you look at the last drafts, you look at Adam Fantilli, you know, he was another Hobie Baker winner. You look, Macklin Celebrini is going to be, he's projected the first overall pick. And, you know, obviously you had a guy like Jack Eichel going number two and all that. So I get the sense that like Habs fans are so used to the Quebec Major Junior and a bit of the CHL that like they're only looking at NCAA unless it's maybe these one or two players that are coming out, you know, like I said, Cole Caulfield, Lane Hutson, and goalie Jacob Fowler. But I think their development in the NCAA goes a long way. And my personal opinion is that I think they might have a better chance of sustaining a long-term career in the NHL versus, I don't know. I'm gonna give. I'll throw in a name like maybe a guy like maybe Philip Massar, who's a prospect for the Canadiens, or maybe even Florian Jacki, who's Arber Jacki's younger brother. Him too, at the age of 20, he's dominating right now because he's playing against 16, 17 year olds, 18 year olds. So, I don't know if you guys agree with me, disagree with me, or
I do. I think the NCAA. I'm not gonna say the route of it, but NCAA lately to me is. I wouldn't say more popular, but I'm hearing more about prospects that are going there that have the likelihood of being able to sustain maybe a longer career, you know, especially playing against men compared to, well, again, we do it for the Habs really. And lately I've been paying attention as myself more to NCAA, and I've been, like you said, Sam, and I've been impressed with what our guys are doing against older men. Whereas if you look at what you're mentioning, Massar, I mean, maybe not Massar, but more like Jacki.
Throwing Owen Beck in there too. He's having a great year, but him too. He's one of the older ones.
One of the older ones. So you don't know how these guys are might be. I'm a little more skeptical of how they would be in the NHL sense if they were to make it, as opposed to I think we might see more success out of the guys that have been coming into the NCAA lately. I don't know. For myself, I've been paying attention more to that, and I've liked the way development has been more in the NCAA lately compared to, let's say, other leagues. And we're talking about the CHL and the Q and all that. So maybe it could be the top prospects we have, but I really like it when, like Alex mentioned about the way the league is, it's older, it's a lot more physical. You get used to it, right? Yeah. And at a younger age. So when you come to the NHL, you're ready to go. So I don't know. I've been more paying attention to NCAA with that lately.
Yeah, what are your thoughts on that, Alex?
Yeah, well, I mean, the age difference definitely makes a big difference. Like, you have definitely, as we've been mentioning, like a lot older guys playing in the NCAA. I think one thing in Canada, I think that in terms of development, we need to, I think, reconsider the way we're doing it. Is we have the U Sports, which is university sport that isn't promoted enough, clearly. I think I mean, we all know in like the last couple of years we've seen it, like hockey is a late development sport. We see it with the players we work with Quick Feet. It takes a long time to develop. I mean, obviously you always have like the superstars, and like, I mean, I love what Slavkovsky's doing, and like he's been doing great, and like, but there's one every year, right? Those are exceptions. And I think for these players too, like a route like the CHL is a really interesting route because you have the volume of games, right? Like back when I was playing the Q, I don't know how it is nowadays, but back when I was playing, you play 70 games in a season, plus like, you know, like 8 to 10 games preseason, depending how many of those you would play. And then if you make like, if you make it far into the playoffs, I mean, you get close to 100 games, which is very close to what like they're playing in the show. Whereas in the NCAA, like the volume of games is lower, but there's a lot of emphasis being put on development, obviously. And like, I think you also have more time, but again, going back to what I've been saying, I think the U Sport, I think we're going to see more and more players come out of the U Sport. So transition from like the QMJHL or the CHL in general, and then transition to like, the U Sport, and then, go pro after that. Just because, I mean, guys are going to get like, you get a degree there, the league is amazing, like teams are really good and getting really competitive. I mean, you've probably heard about UNB going perfect season this year. Their program is insane. I mean, I have a bunch of friends I played with that ended up playing there as well, like after juniors, and the program is great. And there's, as I said, McGill, all the programs in Quebec, the programs in Ontario and in the West are doing better and better every year as well. And like the caliber of players that are coming out that are going there is very high. So I wouldn't be surprised if like through the years, there's a lot more emphasis being put by scouts and like looking at these programs as well, especially that like guys, I mean, we start playing there. Like I started at 21 and you play until you're 26. You have a pretty good idea by then if you like what type of hockey player you are, and you have a really good background too, and a lot of years to develop, right?
That's actually a very good point you mentioned, though, and it could be the now that I actually think about it, the advantage of playing the CHL is that you get a lot more reps than the NCAA. So you do play a lot more games and you just basically focus on that. Whereas NCAA, they have to focus on school too, but like they get a lot of time to practice, develop and all that. So at the end of the day, I think it just comes down, it should come down to the player, and like everybody's got their own skill level, but it comes down to the work ethic and how much they really want it. And it's just crazy how you hear stories of these guys that they have all the skills in the world and they just, for some reason, they just can't seem to make that jump. You know, they're good enough to play pro in the AHL or even the East Coast, but like then for some reason they just can't seem to make that jump in the NHL. And so like I'm actually curious to know your opinion. Like maybe besides the obvious, I know injuries depends, the severity of injuries could slow a player down. And in my personal opinion, I truly believe concussions is one of them. Mm-hmm. I think concussions can really, we still don't know much about concussions. And my question here is not about concussions, but aside from injuries, Alex, like what do you think it could be one of the reasons or multiple reasons why some players, they just don't have that. They're just unable to make that leap over to the show.
I think that's a very tough question to answer because I think there's many variables to that. I think it always depends on like each player, but like the step to the show is phenomenal, right? You're going I'm a big advocate for like incentivizing kids to like do like different sports, to touch different sort of activities, get good at different things. And also one thing I'm a really big advocate about going to school and like making sure that you have another like a good plan B and not like put all your eggs in the same basket and like try to make a career out of hockey. Which again, like it's 1%, right? Like if you take like the pool of players, you go from like midget AAA and then like there's 20% of midget AAA players that go to like the CHL. And then from the CHL, you have like what, you have 2% that end up going pro. And then like how many of that are going to make it to the show? Like the pyramid just gets smaller and smaller at the top. And the speed of the game is just insane. And I mean, you've probably like, there's some guys every year like that are like killing it in juniors or killing it in like NCAA in terms of stats. And then like, you don't hear about them afterwards. And it's like, where are these guys? Well, the reality is, it's just the game just gets so much faster and so much faster and the guys get so much stronger. And I think one big thing, I mean, you can have all the skills in the world. Confidence plays for a really big part, and whatever is like between your ears is, I mean, I wasn't even close to playing at that level, but I think for myself, it's sort of like when I came to Quebec City and Phil just told me like, hey, like now we're going to make a goal scorer out of you. And like the rule is like, you can't make a pass below the top of the circle. I'll always remember that. But like the confidence you gain by just having a coach that puts all the confidence in the world to like in your hands, right? It's like, man, like past the top of the circle, you're not allowed to make a pass, or like I'll sit you on the bench. You have to shoot the puck. Like that's for me, that like, I mean, that was like a game changer. Like it was a game changer moment. Cause like, it was like, man, like, okay, like I don't even have to worry about it anymore. Like I'll just shoot the puck when I'm here. And then all of a sudden you start seeing holes that you weren't seeing before. And it just gets like, the game gets easier. But that is all between like both of your ears. I had the same skill set before that, before you said that sentence, then after, right. I didn't change anything, but I just started scoring goals.
Oh my God. You know, that's so true.
I think the answer is, just to answer the question, why is it hard to make the NHL or how to make the NHL? If you're wearing quick feet, you make the NHL, right? That's the real answer.
But you know what?
You know what? Like, I think I'll hire you as a marketing consultant. But yeah, no, definitely. That's a
send your CV now.
You definitely get closer to it.
Anthony's a coach too, by the way. He's coaching his son's, your son's what, novice or?
Novice.
He's novice, huh? So there you go.
No, I was going to say, Sam, before you continue, you know who Alex described, one of the prospects that everyone probably would knows that could never make it into the NHL, killed it in the juniors?
Was he a Montreal Canadiens prospect? I love these kicking games.
Yeah.
Killed it in the juniors, but couldn't
well,
make it.
Not the, I would say the AHL. Yeah, it's pretty recent how he did so well in the AHL and can never make that leap for us.
Montreal guy?
He wasn't a prospect, was he? No. Like, he wasn't young.
Wow.
I'm thinking guys like Alex Belzile, who, you know, not him.
Well, maybe, but there's one name that comes to mind who can never just
I remember a couple of seasons back where was he for Laval? Or was he for, I don't know if he was for St. John's, which would the whoever the farm team was. I want to say Laval. Was it? Is it the Chris Terry? Not Chris Terry. What's oh my God.
No.
Okay, go, Joey. Go tell me because I'm getting frustrated.
Charles Trudeau. Yeah. So well, the way Alex mentioned, and maybe people don't like get why he never made it. I think a part of that described one of our own prospects that we thought would succeed that didn't. And to me, was a great example was Charles Trudeau. Really, that was the first name that came up. The way Alex was talking about how can kill it, but again, with confidence and depending the coach you have and how fast the game gets, I think he's one of those players that falls into that category. Really, and I just wanted to mention it to
that's
Alex.
Good comparison.
Like, that was one of the, oh my God, that was exactly Charles Trudeau. So, for people who don't know why he can never make it, and Alex brought up great points and. Yeah, hopefully we don't see it in many of our prospects. We want them to succeed, because you know.
And I think there's one important, like there's one other thing, right, that you gotta like take into consideration is that like there's different roles, right, in a team. You don't need like your top six guys aren't the same profile as your bottom six, and then if you want to get like to the first line, if you're like a goal scorer, right, there's not like 15 of them in a team. So that's also like one thing we need to take into account when you think about like the prospects, right? It's like, it's only the best of the best that make it to the top line and that play on the power play. Like then afterwards, it's like, you need guys to like play on the PK, you need your fourth liners, you need your third liners, right? So it gets super tough for,
Absolutely, and it's great. And the funny thing is that this is not the first time you hear how coaches throughout the history of the game, like they've determined the fate of some of these players in the league, not just in the team, but in the league. And real quick, because I watched this the other day, there's the Alexander Degg documentary that's out on, I believe it's out on Prime. And he was saying the story how I think when he went to, I want to say Minnesota. It was after his time in Ottawa. He went to Minnesota. He was still scoring 20 goals, and he really felt like he could have gone for 30. And again, I don't remember for the life of me who the coach was at that time, but they're like, no, we're gonna turn you into a defensive player now. And he starts like, what are you talking about? I practically scored 30 yet. And it's crazy. You hear these stories multiple times, and it's, this is why I love Marty St. Louis. And again, it's from the outside perspective looking in, it really feels like he's letting these kids go out, play your game. And yes, they have roles. They're not that like let's be honest, Jake Evans is not going to be a Nick Suzuki at the center ice position, but he knows that Jake Evans could have a bit of an offensive touch here and there. He'll let him go and try and not necessarily be just a checking player, but yet we all see it now. Lately, Jake Evans' specialty is the penalty kill, and he's been doing a phenomenal job. But all that to say is this is why we're going to get to the Montreal Canadiens later and the rebuild, but because you've mentioned that some depends the coach and your confidence level, like, my God, the two of them coexist, and I truly feel like if the stars aren't aligned in those two factors, I think forget it. It could actually kill a player. I'm a big believer of that. Then maybe it's just not a matter of opinion, it's a matter of facts, but it seems true big time.
Well, look at all these players that, I mean, I know we're going to get into it later, but we all said this two seasons ago when Marty started, where, and even Marty came and said, I'm not playing with a system yet. I'm just making the kids have fun and play. And I think he did it right by just having the kids play, have fun, and find their spot, right? And now you can see the confidence is being built because you're getting trust from your coach, you know, playing how you want to play. And then when the time comes and you find your spot and everything just meshes together, right? Like, I know it's a stupid example, but I'll just give you an example with my son. It's novice, right? And the coach, like, I'm just an assistant coach, but the coach said, you know, there's three novice teams in the league, and everybody was practicing positions. Okay, it's 4-on-4 hockey. These kids don't understand the basics of hockey yet. Why are you putting it in their head about positions, right? And my coach said, or our coach of the team said, I'm not doing positions. I'm making the kids have fun. Just play the game. Let's learn the basics of hockey, skating, passing, whatever. And once you know the basics and just letting the kids have fun, everything else just comes naturally, right? And I think that coincides to what Saint-Louis is doing, right? At the beginning, right? Just let the kids have fun, and then everything just comes into place. So I guess all this comes, again, it's all about trust of your coach. That's how I see it.
Marty Saint-Louis coached the Pee Wee hockey team, and now he's in the NHL. So there's a chance for you one day.
It wasn't my idea, but I'm just saying.
I'm just teasing.
I'm just saying after 3 months of it's hockey, true. The kids it's are true. Learning the positions on their own. We're not even practicing positions. But you can tell the players are already, you know, who wants to be defense, who wants to be left wing, right wing. Again, not one practice have we spoke about positions. It just came naturally when you just have the kids have that confidence on the ice, just have fun, play the game, and start understanding the game, and everything just comes naturally, right? So it's just an off topic there, but
I'm glad, back to basics.
I'm glad you, well, we mentioned it now. I think it's a good segue to get into it.
Let's get
into the Habs. I got to ask Alex, and anyone listening, I do not know this. I have to ask Alex, are you a Montreal Canadiens fan? I actually don't even know, truthfully.
Yeah, well, I mean, the Habs are, I guess, the team I'm following. I'm not hockey all that much, as funny as it sounds. But yeah, like whenever I watch a game, it's going to be the Habs, definitely.
Okay. Do you have a favorite like prospect or anyone that interests you when you do watch? Because I know you talk a lot about prospects. You're very big into a lot of the minor league stuff. I mean, from your story. So I'm sure you keep an eye on them. Anyone that like stands out for you or somebody that you like?
Well, I'm honestly a really big fan of Slafkovský. Really impressed. Okay. And since the start, I've seen him, like I've been to a couple games last year at the Bell Center, and he's just such a big unit. He's going to be like around the net, like, and his hands are phenomenal. Like what he does with a puck, some stuff that like maybe like some people don't really notice, but like he is really good with a puck. I don't know if you guys saw the video of him playing like floor hockey.
I don't know. No,
oh, amazing. He does like a pass like behind the back. You have to look that up.
I'll look it up. Okay.
Yeah, like interesting. No, I think the guy's gonna be really, really good. And especially like playing with Suzuki. I mean, Suzuki's phenomenal. Like his hockey IQ is just out of this world. So yeah, like they're really exciting to watch.
So I guess you're happy with Hughes' decision when he had to draft him, right? Because it didn't seem like an easy decision at the time.
Definitely. But yeah, no, I think, and I mean, even like for me, even like at the start of last season, and I know like last season, I think the fans weren't necessarily like convinced with the pick selection. But I was like the first game I saw, I think it was against, they played against Pittsburgh last year at the beginning of the year. I was sitting in the stands and I was just seeing him like, you know, like doing some stuff with the puck. And like when you're very close, you get to see like these small details and just like the positioning as well as on the ice, in front of the net as well on the power play. I mean, he is so strong on his skates and I think he's going to be really impressive. So it's going to be fun to watch in a couple of years, definitely.
Well, my God, imagine when he's physically mature at the age of like 22, 23, 24. Like he's starting to grow into his body now, and already, even before he just turned 20 on the weekend, like you could see he's really, like his strength is growing, but he's not even there yet. He hasn't even scratched the surface yet. That's the scary part. That's the way I see it. That I love. You're right. He does have great hands. He has great. I think his playmaking passing abilities.
It's underrated.
So underrated. I was just about to say that. Yeah. So underrated. Like the guys, the kid's got the vision and he's still learning. And again, thank God for Marty being like, no, we are not sending this kid down to the minors. Keep him with me. Let me continue work on him. And look at that. Like it truly, truly paid off. So can I ask you, Joey mentioned the pick of Slafkovský. What do you think about your pick on David Reinbacher?
I saw that highlight he had his first AHL game. Yep. That was quite impressive.
What a goal, man. Wow.
Yeah. Insane. What I like about the last couple of picks, or I guess these two guys especially, is like Montreal for the last couple of years has always had sort of a small team, right? And you have two of your superstars are going to be like Suzuki and Caulfield. I think like Slavkovsky is just like the perfect fit. I mean, you can't have six small bodies on your top six, right? At some point, you need like some big bodies to get in front of the net, get the pucks. So I think that like just diversifying the types of players and the types of bodies they have on the top six is really interesting. Same thing at the back. You have like I was at the Rocket game actually with my billet family from Sherbrooke a couple weeks ago, like Mayu, you have now Reinbacher, you have Jack Eye, and the other guys that like the other young kids that are already also really
bully. Yep.
And if you look at like the year the Habs went to the finals, right? Like, I mean, what was a decor? You had Weber,
I'm so happy you mentioned this
because Weber, Edmondson, Petrie, just four big bodies.
We've mentioned that in a previous episode, maybe a couple of weeks back, maybe a month back or so. It's like it kind of seems like they're replicating that decor with Gouley, with Jack Eye, with Mayu, and maybe Reinbacher as well. And like I know Edmondson, Sherratt, and even Shea Weber, they were mean guys. I don't know if these prospects will have that mean persona to their game, but they're still big bodies, and they could. I'm very, very optimistic that they could be able to bring a tough aspect to their game. Absolutely. Oh my God.
I will say, Alex might have put my mind at ease a little bit with his positivity. Reinbacher, Alex, I'll be honest, I was probably the biggest, most negative naysayer about the pick because I wanted a talented forward for Montreal. I was more for Montreal being inclined to take Michkov just based on potential. I'm sure, no one's really watched film. It was hard, Russia, we know, but I'm sure everybody has heard about his potential. So I was one of the ones who really wanted him, considering Montreal for the past, 20 years, 30 years, they've been offensively terrible, like stat-wise. Stan mentioned about stats, like every day, not every day, but every time we have a podcast, I think about like, when was the last time we had a 40-goal scorer, a 50-goal scorer, an 80-point player? Like we were all children, or even before that, we weren't even born. So,
well, at least the 30 goal scorers among centermen, now that Nick Suzuki just cracked that number, I think the last one was Pierre Turgeon in 96 as a centerman. I'm not talking about our last goal scorer within the Montreal Canadiens, because we all know that was Brendan Gallagher, another one of Joey's favorite players. But
yeah,
but it's true though, Joe. It's like these other teams get to experience. I'm not going to call them the glory days, but at least they have a player that's going to excite them day in and day out and like bring them goals, like 30 goals, 40 goals. Like we joke about Toronto because we're Montreal, but man, the fact that you get to watch Austin Matthews day in and day out, like it's, man, that's what Montreal's missing. I feel like the last player they had that for our generation was definitely Kovalev. To our parents was Guy Lafleur. Or Stéphane Richer for just two seasons, you know. And what that's I mean? Where, so, like, I get where Joey's coming from.
Yeah, and that's what we're mentioning, Alex. Our last 80-point player was Kovalev in 2007 when they won the President's Cup. They actually came first, right?
2007, 2008. Yeah,
2007, 2008. Even though they lost, but so with that pick, I was very. We actually had an episode, and Sam can even send you the clip. We did a live. We did a live draft with everyone watching, and I left because I was so
it was the greatest. The funny thing is that he warned us before the live show started. We thought he was joking. Like, there's no way he's gonna leave. But this guy over here, not only that, the broadcast was he was way ahead of us, right, Ant?
Yeah, because they were on stream while I was on just live TV. So for watching this team for 30 years, it just For me, the potential of seeing somebody like Mitch Kopp, like I want to try to see as much tape as possible because I really like actually got excited about somebody who, you know, can maybe dominate a game offensively, which Montreal has been missing for decades. And then drafting Rheinbacher and then the whole, you know, him being a right-handed defenseman. But, you know, everyone has a role, like Alex was saying before. I don't know, just it was time to go for the episode. I was like, I can't stay here anymore. But, yeah, I mean, look, you never know what prospects and hopefully Montreal, like maybe the quick feet will help them score more goals. We don't know.
Alex.
That's something we need.
Go Anthony, then I have something to say real quick and funny.
Well, speaking of drafts and what we've been noticing so far, I want to ask you, Alex, as a Habs fan or someone who's been in who experienced that kind of level of hockey, well, not the NHL, but close to it. What do you think, how do you feel about how Kent Hughes and Gorton is building this team? I mean, we've been in so many seasons with, you know, the Bergevins and the Gainies and the whole, like we say, you know, the Montreal city where we fix with potholes instead of fixing the city as a whole, we just rebuild little holes. Now, just I believe
patching here and there. It's so true.
See the patches. That's been an issue with the Montreal Canadiens for so long. And now I believe that Kent Hughes and Gorton is finally rebuilding his team properly. And I want to hear from your angle, like, how do you see it? Do you think they're doing the right way? Can they improve, or are they just following the same tracks of everybody else in the past, like Gainey and Bergeron?
Well, I think, I mean, we've been talking about like exciting players, and to be honest, I think there's also a fact that like we're looking at the same team like day in, day out. I think like if you look at Suzuki, like, I mean, the guy is exciting to watch. Like, you see him on the ice, like the stuff he does, like his vision. I think like Slafkovský, like since like Christmas, or like he's been on a tear as well. I think we sometimes kind of take them for granted a little too much, but like they're really exciting to watch. I really like what they've been doing. I like the fact that they're adding like some like really big bodies. I've mentioned it earlier. Like you look at what Vegas did and like Tampa did like the last couple of years.
Thank you.
There, I mean, my good buddy Nick Roy, who wears Quick Feet as well, like he's playing in Vegas, right? And I mean, yeah. He's 6'5". He's like an average body over there. Like they're huge. Like their decor is big.
They're massive.
And the thing that like I think we sometimes forget too is like you sort of have two different games in one season. You have like the regular season, and then you have the playoffs. And what I'm not the biggest fan of that, but I think like there's two different set of rule books. And if you recall, like the run that the Habs had, when was it, 2021? When
they that's right. Yeah.
I don't know if you recall, but I remember everybody, I mean, within like my close friend circle and everything, like everybody was bashing Shea Weber the whole season, like how bad he was. Like he was just like having a bad season off year. Like he was too old. And all of a sudden they make it to the playoffs. And he gets to like cross check everybody and like bruise the whole other team up. And like all of a sudden, like, I mean, the guy ended up the year, obviously, like he was banged up, but he's like, he's a star in Montreal because like they brought the team basically, like, it was Price and him and the rest of the decor that brought them like that far. And the main reason I think they did that is because of like the size they had and I mean, how mean they were, right? Because, like there was one stat I was looking at that's really, really insane is like the number of pims that McDavid generates throughout the season compared to the playoffs. And it's like, I think it's like a 3-for-1 ratio where like he like gets like for every 60 minutes, I think it's like three penalties he generates. And then like in the playoffs, it goes down to one. So it's just like a whole different, like it's the same player. It's just a whole other rule book, which
I
sometimes.
That's too much. Yeah,
exactly. But, which I sometimes find is a shame because it sort of changes the game. But that's the reality of the game right now. It might change at some point, maybe not. But like that's the reality of it. So,
yeah,
what you want. You want to win the regular season, or you want to win a Stanley Cup, right? And I think to win a Stanley Cup, they're going the right direction, I guess.
No, it's an awesome question. It's an awesome answer. I actually truly believe these refs are a bit too afraid to call everything, and they, because I don't think they want to be that ref that gave a team an opportunity or like to win a game that could eventually lead to, you know, a playoff series winner or God forbid, a Stanley Cup winning goal or something. So it's very true. And we all know this. Like, we all know this. We all see this. We know 9 times out of 10 in the playoffs, the refs throw their whistles away. But at the same, and that's why the playoffs is a lot more aggressive and rough. And I'm a big believer in mental toughness as well. And I think the teams that win, it's because for 16 wins, they were able to be mentally tougher than their opponent. But I'm also a big believer that the healthiest team ends up winning as well. That's my personal opinion. We got a couple more questions for you, Alex. And just by the way, you might be the godsend that makes Joey think differently now about this team. And we joke with Joey. If anything, Joey's like the Joker master, because in our group chat, he's the one that not trash talks the Canadians, but he's a little bit more on the, I'll use the word negative side. He's not a negative person. I love Joey, but he seems to do that more. But I think he knows how to bait us, that he gets us, that he likes to
pretty just, much.
He knows how to bear. But exactly. But I really think your presence and him just listening to you, you might have put an end to all of that now. And Joey might actually be a different
person. Joey's just, I'll give him a compliment. He's the realist of the group. Like,
yes, he is. He is.
Yeah, you can just say it. When they play bad, you know, everyone's like, oh, but, you know, they're kids. They did okay. I'm like, no, they just play bad. They deserve to lose. That's it. That's all. The team is not there. So everyone's looking future. Yeah. I get it. But I also try to look at it in the now of how they play. So, you know, I'm one of the ones that I want them to tank. Like, I'm pissed we didn't get Bedard. Like, winning those last 5 games at the end of the season to show that they're improving. What does that do? Well, it lost to Bedard. That's what it showed me more than anything else. So, and Alex, I'm sure you know Bedard and how good this guy is. So imagine him on the Canadians right now, how everyone would be exciting, but
don't get us depressed, Joe. Come on.
Yeah. So there you go. So winning those last 5 games, 6 games, whatever, really killed our chances, you know, because they went on not a little bit of a run, but 4 or 5 wins that were kind of meaningless. So I try to be realist. Like, I want Montreal to get, I think they have what you were mentioning about, you know, certain roles of how teams become successful. I think Montreal have those filled. I just don't think they have probably the hardest thing to get, to be quite honest. It's the top end talent, which you usually get through the draft. So I'm just patiently waiting for Montreal to try to get one of those. And, you know, I could finally see on, I don't know, Saturday, Matthews versus, I don't know, another 50 goal score or something. So we'll be waiting a bit, but I mean, we'll definitely get there someday.
Oh boy. Maybe they draft Caden Lidstrom. If they do, that's like 2 big left wingers on the Canadiens in your top 6. That would be amazing.
I've been looking more at Demidov
too? Yeah, probably. Or Berkeley Canton, or we'll see. This upcoming draft is gonna be amazing. A couple of just a bit more of your time, Alex, and then we'll call it an evening. Who were your favorite players or teams growing up, or even to this day?
I mean, growing up, like, obviously, I mean, I'm from Abitibi, right? I mean, we've been watching the Canadians growing up. Players, one of my favorite players and one guy I really identified to growing up was Mike Fisher, that used to play for the Ottawa Senators.
Yeah. As
I mentioned earlier, but basically, like, growing up, my game was like a two-way center. I was just like winning draws. Yeah. I was trying to like mimic his game quite a bit. I thought the guy was pretty cool, and like he had like a similar role to what I had like back in juniors.
Yep.
But yeah, that was.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah, cool.
But, I mean, definitely. And then, like, I grew up watching like Sidney Crosby, obviously. But this is just a classic answer. I try to like give you something.
Crosby is the best player of our generation. I don't care. I love Ovechkin. I really, really do. Best goal scorer of our time, of our generation. But yeah, no, Crosby is the best overall player of our generation. I grew up loving, in terms of centerman, Joe Sakic. I loved Steve Yzerman. I really liked Mike Modano. But I think my favorite player outside of Montreal was Sergei Fedorov. And then with the Canadians was Koivu and Kovalev, obviously.
Exactly. I still remember. I mean, you talked about playing Rimouski when you were like Pee-wee or something. Mm-hmm. I still remember back when I was – I can't remember how old I was back then. But like the first year of Crosby in the queue, I saw him playing Val d'Or. and I didn't even know who the guy was. But it was just like, even as a kid, I was like, it was phenomenal to see that guy just play in the queue and dominate. I think he had like 4 points in Valdor that night as a 16-year-old. It was just, amazing.
That's awesome. Who do you think is going to win the cup this year?
Ooh.
I know it's very early to predict, but like, I'm just curious who you think based on like how the team is built and like, especially these last couple of teams after the trade deadline, the way they built to hopefully be cup contenders or win it.
Yeah. So, well, I think Colorado is probably like a really good contender. Mm-hmm. I mean, McKinnon is just insane. Yeah,
he's insane.
He has that streak, right? I don't know if you've noticed the home.
Yeah. Streak. Yeah. It came to an end though. No,
it did.
Yeah, it did.
Oh, wow.
But, yeah, it did. But yeah, he's...
Yeah, 35 games or something, I think.
Yeah, he's insane too, McKinnon, and I love him.
Yeah, I think Colorado's going to be interesting to watch. I honestly, like, I think Vegas, again, like, how are they, like, right now in the standings? I mean, I haven't looked at the standings at all. Are they in the books for making it, or...?
Yeah, but they need to start winning games or else they could crash and burn, especially the way they acquired, like, these big name on the LTIR, for sure, building their team around the LTIR, but... If they make it, then if everybody's healthy, it's dangerous if they make it.
But
yes, I agree.
But yeah, I think Colorado is going to be my pick at this point.
Okay. I like that too. They're my pick in the West. I think I'm going with Carolina in the East.
Okay.
Yeah.
Alex, I wanted to ask.
Yeah, I think that would be really fun if they make a long run. Sorry.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Alex, I want to ask. Given from your story and your background, your German roots, do you follow any German players at all in the league or? From the past or now. I mean, we do so with that. We have Italian background, so I know we're more famous for soccer, but we do the same thing. We always try to root them. Do you have anybody from Germany you like?
Well, I mean, obviously, like Draisaitl is pretty impressive to watch. He is phenomenal. David. I keep up a little bit with like the teams over there. We also have a couple of players in the Dell that use the quick feed as well. Yeah. So Andres Schuster and Ryan McKiernan that plays for the Red Bull in Munich. He's been there for a bit. He's also a McGill alumni. So keeping up with him. Also keeping up, obviously, like I'm from there. Like the team my dad played with, like Greifeld. They're in the second league now. They got relegated, but following them a little bit. But yeah, I mean, in the NHL, obviously, always exciting to watch. Draisaitl with his huge blade.
Yeah, I love Moritz Seider, man. Love that kid. Oh my god, he's so good. He's amazing. Okay,
final question of the night. Enjoy's gonna love it.
I hope it's the same question I would have for him, but go ahead.
Alex, do you think the Habs are going to contend in 2 to 3 years?
Oh no, it's not the question.
That's not my question either.
I mean, I think we're close to making like the playoffs. Contend, I think. I think it's always very. I mean. Yeah, like we can debate about this, but it's like the draft and everything is such a, and that is something that I find really interesting about like Vegas, right? Like Vegas has been trading their first round picks like basically every year, like giving them away and like getting like established NHL players in exchange for that. And I think the draft is such a tough science, and there's so much luck behind it. And like, I mean, we see it every year, right? There's like guys from the fifth round that end up being like the best of their year, and then. I really believe that like I hope that in 3-4 years it's going to be like some exciting like playoffs runs. I think the goaltending, I mean, we've seen it the year we went to the finals, right? It was Price and Weber. I think the goaltending needs to be on point, and you see like that. You look at the last NHL, like the Stanley Cup winners, there was a
their
good
goaltending was phenomenal, exactly.
Four and big bodies. So it's promising to see though. Like Primo the last month was really interesting.
Player of the month of March.
Molson
Cup winner, player of the month of March. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think Quebec City will ever have an NHL team?
Oh that would be phenomenal. I mean, that would be awesome. It would be pretty cool to see a team play there. I think, who am I to to know what's going to happen there. But
yeah,
it would be just so cool to live that rivalry, just to have the opportunity to live through that. I mean, it's fun, obviously, when Boston and Toronto, but like have this like cross Quebec rivalry would be just amazing.
It's fun to see, bring back some good old hockey.
Alex, this is the final question of the night. So if you don't mind me asking, I assume that you're close to our age. You're around the, like, 35.
Actually, I'm 29. Still you're
29. What?
A little away from the big 3-0 that's coming in a year from now.
Big 3-0 is coming.
That's even better. Good for you. Okay, well, look. If 29-year-old Alex Sills were to meet 16, 17, 18-year-old Alex Sills, what advice would you give him?
Oh, man, that's a good one. I would probably tell that Alex to live out his dreams and go for whatever he wants. I think when I was growing up, I was and I talked about like going to school in McGill, and like my one big dream of mine was to play in Germany and go back and sort of like follow in the footsteps of my dad. So I think maybe I would have made other decisions and went straight forward. Would I have known I would have got injured at some point and had to like retire from hockey. But yeah, that's probably what I would tell that guy.
Alex, it's been an absolute pleasure, man. Thanks so much for being a part of this. Truly, truly enjoyed listening to your takes on hockey and listening to your stories in the queue and how you began your company, Quick Feet. We got to have you back again someday, man. Thank you so
definitely
much.
Whenever. I mean, guys, it's been a blast too, collaborating with you guys. Love the show. I hope there's more and more guys and people in Montreal and Quebec listening to you guys every week. I think it's great. It's really fun, really entertaining. And yeah, it's thanks for having me again, and really fun to be able to collaborate with you guys.
Real quick to our listeners and our viewers, where can they follow you on social media, or where can they access your Quick Feet products online? Do you have social media for both yourself and your product?
Yeah, exactly. So I mean, for Quick Feet, at Quick Feet, whether it's on Facebook, on Instagram, we post a lot of stuff, educational stuff as well, to better understand the product. The goal again here is to make your skate and customize your skate to fit your body mechanics. And I think it's a very, very interesting way of doing it, a very cheap way too, and a very easy way of doing that. They can always ask questions. I mean, we're there. Patrick is there. Patrick is a real guru. He knows all the science behind it. So we're always happy to share some stuff with people through there. Obviously, quickfeet.com. And then for myself, Alex Sills 23, I'll be happy to answer any questions as well. So always trying to make people better on the ice. So that's the objective behind it.
You heard it there, folks. Go ahead at quickfeet.com, Q-U-U-I-K, feet.com, and get your 10% discount with the promo code CurfewBoys10. Alex, thank you so much once again. This was an absolute blast. Joey, Anthony, really appreciate you guys taking part of this. To all our viewers and listeners out there, thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of the Curfew Boys podcast. Click like and subscribe to our YouTube channel. It's absolutely free. Tell your friends about us. Tell your friends about Quick Feet. I'm telling you, it'll up your game, your skating game, whether you're playing pro or just having fun with your buddies out there and try to beat buddies out there like Joey. I'm telling you, Quick Feet will work. Available, all our episodes are available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, any podcast platform. We're on Instagram, we're on Facebook, we're on Twitter. You can follow us there. Gentlemen, thank you so much. Have a good night. We'll see you all next time. Until then,
bye now.
Good night.